Cam Buckner, who ran for mayor, representative here in the Illinois House, wrote a great op-ed in the Chicago Tribune. I found it a really interesting read. He joins us now. Cam, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, John. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to ask before we get to the op-ed, which I have a lot of questions I want to hear your thoughts on, reports that Kim Fox may not run for re-election. We'll find out probably within the next hour whether that's true or not. If it is true, how would you grade Kim Fox's term as state's attorney?
Well, listen, I think I don't like getting caught up in the grading scale when it comes to politicians. I think the final grade comes from the people who vote for us, right? But I think any of us worth our salt who are trying to do our job the right way can look and see where we could have done things better and try to find ways to improve on the wins that we've had and kind of jettison some of the losses, right? And so, whatever the state's attorney decides, I'm sure it will be the right decision for her and her family. And if she is not running again, I think it's very important that we begin to think about who the next state's attorney for Cook County is. I think that we cannot afford to go backwards. I think we need to have somebody who can come in and be able to balance criminal justice reform and true accountability to make us all safer and to make Chicago and Cook County a better place.
Representative Buckner, sorry to spring that on you. I think it's an interesting answer you choose. And, you know, something about the idea of, you know, politicians, they do the best they can with the knowledge they have when they do it. I think that's a lesson that, you know, both sides of the aisle could take a little bit with. We're never going to agree 100% with politicians, of course, whether they're on the team we play for or not. But a little grace and humility, realizing that these are difficult jobs. And as long as we believe our politicians think that what they're doing is truly the best way forward, I think that we should take that a little more into consideration.
I think that's right. And obviously I'm biased because as a elected official myself, I live this on a normal basis, but I think grace is the right word, John, for folks who have put themselves and their family on full display to try to do the work and the will of the people. It's tough work, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum. And so I think we've got to keep that in mind.
For sure. All right, let's pivot here a little bit. You, in the headline to your op-ed, it says, "It takes a village to raise R-A-Z-E, a Chicago child, and a village to come together and raise the child again, R-A-I-S-E. Well, let's start right there. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so, John, many of us know the African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. Hillary Clinton had a book that was titled that, and it's become a moniker and an ethos that has kind of spread through our politics and our civil society. But the truth of the matter is that I think just like it takes a village to R-A-I-S-E, raise a child to make them successful and to bring them up, it also takes a village to raise, R-A-Z-E, a child. Raise meaning to tear down, right, and to deplete. And when you look at what's going on in Chicago, the unfortunate circumstances that many of our young people find themselves in, what I tried to do in that op-ed is to call attention to the fact that we all have a role to play in the success of our young people and therefore the success of our city. And when we see that, the young folks are not being successful and, you know, things are occurring, then I think that we all have to figure out what part we can play or what we did to be a part of that and how we turn that ship around.
I know a lot of people say we need more opportunities for younger people in certain communities. I don't live there, and I'm not a young person, so I shouldn't comment on it. But I've also heard counter people saying we do have programs. We spend millions of dollars on programs. And last year, we did countless stories about jobs that the city was offering young people not being filled. So when Alderman Ray Lopez came on the show last week, he said it's not about providing more opportunities. The opportunities are there already. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they have to be the right opportunities, right? And so I talk a lot about us not dictating to young people what they need, but listening to young people and hearing from them what it is that they need to feel safe and secure and to be, effective parts of our larger society. I also will say this. I think this is an all-hands-on-deck effort. More jobs in and of itself won't be enough to fix things. And so this is not, and I want to be very clear about this, John, I'm not absolving accountability from young people who have made bad decisions. I'm not absolving responsibility from parents or institutions. I just think that we all have a role to play. And as I remind folks, I grew up in a house where my father made it very clear, just because it's not your fault does not mean it's not your responsibility.
Mm. You talk a lot about community cohesion. I love this discussion. And you say it's dwindled over generations. What do you mean by community cohesion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was a time and place where everybody looked out for each other. And once again, there was some responsibility that we all kind of felt for our neighbors and for our community. But we have become so disjointed. The right hand does not know what the left hand's doing. We're siloed. We are stuck in our bubbles. We don't communicate with each other in a way that gives us empathy and allows us to, once again, take care of each other. And so, you know, it may be a shot in the dark, but I really would love if we begin to start looking again as if we were one complete city, one complete community, one complete, you know, if it's your block, one complete block. Because way too often, I think we've missed the mark. And I honestly, you know, John, I've heard a lot over the last few weeks about safe spaces for young people. And my pushback to that was that every place in the city should be a safe place for young people. It has to be, because if it's not, then we're not doing the right things. And we tried that once with the safe neighborhoods, right? We had safe neighborhoods and not safe neighborhoods, and people kind of live in their own bubble. But once what we did realize during this pandemic is that distance doesn't separate us, silence does. And we got to have better conversations about how to move forward.
I don't know if there are concrete, real implementations that we could talk through, because a lot of what you say, and look, I love the way you speak about it, it just kind of seems, pie in the sky is not the right term, it's a lot of talk. It's a lot of words, yeah. Right? Like, we need new things, we need this. And I feel like that doesn't often translate with people because it's not tangible. What are actual programs? What's the 3-month, 6-month, 9-month plan? Do we lack a little of that from the top? Do we lack a little of that from Brandon Johnson, our new mayor-elect?
So I would hope not. I mean, I think that the mayor-elect has a mandate, edict from the people of Chicago to find a way to bring folks together. What we've seen, especially over the last 4 years, is that the folks who are in charge have often said, well, this is not my deal. This is not my fault. This is not my thing. And I think the mayor has to be a convener. And I think you're right. We got to have some concrete steps and some concrete objectives that are not just concrete, but also measurable, right? So
right.
We can see if we're doing things the right way. And so I talk a lot about, you know, specifically dealing with the young people who were downtown for the last, you know, 2 weeks ago. You know, what can we do immediately with the business community and with community organizations and, you know, violence interrupters, and making sure that we are actually bringing people to the forefront to effectuate some actual change? But it has to be clear, it has to be concrete, and once again, John, it has to be measurable so we can do more of the right stuff and less of the wrong stuff.
Yeah, because, like, again, it's even like with opportunities and jobs, I don't think we have a grasp on numbers. Maybe it's impossible because there's, you know, grassroots organizations and churches, right? They don't report numbers to government, but and each neighborhood's different. I want to know, in Austin, kids in Austin, how many job openings are there for kids in Austin? How many opportunities for volunteerism are there in Austin? How many neighborhood groups are there? And how many people are going to the neighborhood groups that exist already? Same thing in Chatham, which is different than Englewood, which is different than South Shore. And maybe that's an impossible ask, but I feel like we need some concrete data to then to take with and then make a plan with. And I just feel like no one's calling for comprehensive data research on this.
And the data will actually tell the story. It will give us our path forward. I think you're right. And we've got to embrace that. I don't think it's too hard. This is 2023 and the third largest country third largest city in the country. John, we figured out a way 120 years ago to reverse the flow of a river. Right. We can get this, but it has to be a priority. It has not been up to this point. It has to be moving forward.
Yeah. And I think, and what I appreciate about what you said, and I agree, and I think a lot of people do, it's harder than it sounds, though. It's that we need immediate answers for what happened downtown last weekend to quell that, while at the same time we need these long-term answers. And the problem is, in politics, often the short-term answer gets all the attention, gets all the votes. The long-term answer doesn't have the immediate results, so it doesn't have the power and the votes. But we need people that are elected, for whether they're here for one term or many, to focus on both things at the same time. And I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time, even if it isn't the most popular or vote-getting tactic.
We have to do it, and I think this is also why we got to bring in the community, especially the young people, but the folks who live in these communities and the folks who are kind of the community conveners, because when a politician is gone, if a family or a mother or a father who lives in the community is still going to be there, they have a vested interest in what that long-term plan looks like and what those long-term solutions looks like. look like for their community.
For sure. All right, Representative Cam Buckner, we appreciate you joining us. You can read his op-ed at chicagotribune.com. It takes a village to raise a child and a village to come together and raise the child again, spelled differently each time. Thanks for your time, Representative.
Thank you, John. Have a great week.